following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, December 17th, 2017, sponsored by Daryl and Addie TG.
Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to be gathered in worship today. Today is a great day. This morning is not too slick outside, not too slippery, but it's good to be gathered in a nice warm place, the house of the Lord. So today we're going to begin by singing O Come Emmanuel as the Pongratz family lights our Advent candle.
We gave thanks for this wreath or wheel of time that marks our days of preparation for Christ's coming. As we light the candles on this wreath, may our eyes be open to see Christ's presence in the lowly ones of this earth.
Let us pray. God of light, enlighten us with your grace that we may sing of your advent among us in the Word made flesh. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose days draw near. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pongratz family, and I invite you to stand as we begin in worship this morning. Let us pray together. Gracious God, light of the world, sometimes we feel the heaviness of darkness. We confess that we are not always the light bearers you desire us to be. Teach us to walk as children of light, so that we bring your love, forgiveness, hope, and healing to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated as we hear our scripture reading for today.
The reading is from Isaiah, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is from Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated as I invite any kids who are here to join me in front for the children's message. Good morning!
Good morning!
Hey, it's good to see you all today. Is anyone excited for Christmas?
Yeah!
All right. Yeah, Christmas is this week. Can you believe it? Have you watched as the candles, week by week, we light one more?
Yeah!
That means we're almost to Christmas. Well, I've got a question for you. I want you to tell me some really important people you can think of. Who are some important people you can think of?
Jesus!
Well, children's sermon done. Or some other. And then we'll maybe come back to that answer. Yeah. God? Okay, we're doing really good. They've learned well. Mom and Dad? Yep. Okay, who are other important people in the world? Okay, yep. How about like celebrity people? Who are some celebrity people? Important celebrity people? Yeah. Jim Carrey. All right. What do you think? Amari Cooper, sure, yeah. All right, who else? Yeah? Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. All right, who's a really... Somebody who... You! Well, look at that! Yeah! What do you think? Important people. Oh, babies are really important. We got a really important baby over here, don't we? Well, have you ever seen someone really important who likes to get a lot of attention? Who likes to kind of be excited about themselves? Can you think of anybody like that? Someone's pointing to their brother. Yep, okay. Yeah. Oh, sure, yep. Oh, you do. You have a baby brother. Well, today I want to tell you about a really important person, okay? You ready?
Jesus.
You know how to do a children's sermon. Actually, this guy's name is John, okay? So John was really, 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 really important. Can you imagine like the most important church guy you can imagine? He was so important. People were coming to him. People were so excited to hear his sermons. I know, it's crazy, huh? They'd go out in the wilderness to see him. Why? Because he was that good. He was so important. He was really well known. But I want to tell you something. This guy named John, he didn't say, "It's all about me." He didn't say, look at me, I'm wonderful, I'm great, aren't I cool? In fact, he said, it's not about me at all. All right, you ready for the punchline? It's really about...
you.
No, okay. It's really about this other guy named... say Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, good. All right. Yeah, John the Baptist says it's not about me, it's about this guy named Jesus. It's a good bet to say Jesus in any question I ask in a children's sermon. All right, so today we're going to think about that. When we come to church, it's really not about us.
It's about Jesus.
Nice. Yeah, it's about Jesus. Great. All right, so let's have a prayer before we go back to our seats, okay? Can you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you. For bringing us.
To
your house.
To worship.
But help us.
To
remember.
It's all about you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Well, as I mentioned earlier, welcome to worship this morning. This Advent Sunday as we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Now this month, if you've been with us the past few weeks, we focused on a really small part of the Bible. The first few verses in this Gospel of Mark. And we've been doing this crazy thing. We've been taking those black books in front of you and we've been pulling them out. The Bibles, we're going to read them during the sermon. So I invite you to take out that black book, that Bible in front of you, and we're going to see if we can't find the Gospel of Mark, New Testament, after Matthew. I think it's page 812, if I recall. Mark chapter 1. And as you look at this passage, if you've been here the past few weeks, you can see some things we've been talking about. We've learned that this Gospel, this story of good news of Jesus Christ, doesn't begin with baby Jesus lying in a manger. It doesn't begin with shepherds or angels or magi or animals. Instead, this Gospel of Mark fast forwards through that whole story and focuses on a guy out in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. Now, John the Baptist was born to an elderly and respected couple, and he was baptizing people in the wilderness and quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Last week we looked at Isaiah a little bit. And his good news for people was encouraging them to repent and confess their sins. That's kind of a weird form of good news. But by this time, he had developed quite a bit of notoriety, and people were going out to meet him out in the wilderness. It says, people from the whole Judean countryside, verse 5, and people from the whole Judean countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to meet him. He was charismatic, and his outfit reminded people of this legendary prophet, Elijah. So today, though, we're going to finish this little part of this Gospel of Mark. And we read that John wasn't interested in leading people to himself. I'm going to invite us to read this together. If we look at verse 7, this is why he's doing what he's doing. Let's read together. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You see, John the Baptist knew that his job was to baptize, yes, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, yes, but ultimately, John the Baptist's job was very simple. It was John the Baptist's job to point to Jesus, to point to the cross, to point to Jesus. Well, in order to be a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, we go through a seminary, which is a graduate school that helps prepare you for the ministry through coursework, so that we learn at least the foundations of the Bible, systematic theology, church history, hymnody, liturgy, pastoral care, Lutheran teachings, and so on. But while this process goes on, this graduate school process, we also go through what's called a candidacy process, which includes psychological evaluations, behavioral interviews, congregation-based internships, clinical-based internships, and so on. So while seminary teaches us what we need to know, the candidacy process shapes us into who we need to be. So pastoral candidates adhere to a long document called Visions and Expectations of Ordained Ministers. This document outlines the importance of an ordained minister's faithfulness to the church's confessions, leadership through faithful service and holy living, and faithfulness to the gospel. So it's got many pages of the ELCA's expectations for pastors, including passion for evangelism. Just a quick list. Refined pastoral skills, aptness to preach and teach, adherence to the confessions of the church, responsive to the needs of a changing world, and character and integrity worthy of the office, being an example in holy living. So in a nutshell, a pastor needs to adhere to this list of expectations in order to be approved for ordination in the ELCA. So why do I say this? I say this because at times I admit this is overwhelming for me. Because I want to do the best I can, but I also know that I'm going to let people down, left and right. I'm going to make mistakes, and sometimes I struggle knowing the pressure of knowing that a lot of times people base their decisions on whether or not they like a church based on whether or not they like, trust, and respect the pastor. So there are times, try as I might, when I know I won't meet my own visions or expectations of who I should be. And I have to tell you, this is why I like the story of John the Baptist. This is why I like his story. Because here we have a man who says that Christian leadership, it's actually not about me. Nor is it really all that complicated. Christian leadership is about pointing to Jesus. And as people of faith, I think we all have visions and expectations for who we want to be as faithful Christians. And I got a feeling we know the things that we want to do. Pray daily, worship weekly, wear out our Bibles, tithe 10% of what we earn, honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy, forgive others, resist temptation, practice the fruits of the Spirit like gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. And in order to be a disciple, we practice these spiritual disciplines because they don't come naturally if you haven't seen that yourself. We need to work at them. And at the end of the day, if you've ever felt overwhelmed by these visions or expectations, embarrassed or ashamed of ways you didn't measure up, I think this is a good time to look at this guy named John the Baptist. Because here we see that faith is not about us or our own ability to achieve a satisfiable level of righteousness or a satisfactory degree of holiness. Faith is about pointing to Jesus. Now don't get me wrong, Alicia and I have committed ourselves to adhering to the visions and expectations of ordained ministry in the ELCA. And we also know that as a Christian community of faith, we have direction for how to best be God's hands and feet in this world with spiritual disciplines given to us not as a burden but as a gift. But sometimes it's helpful to have a guiding principle. Sometimes it's helpful to have a guiding principle like the one we get from John the Baptist today. So if you're overwhelmed with the burdens of life and wondering how you're going to make it through, we can point to Jesus. If you feel alone and need some source of solidarity, someone who understands, we can point to Jesus. If you're frustrated by prominent men in the news continuing to be defined by sexual misconduct allegations and you want to know what a real man looks like, we point to Jesus. If you are with someone who's grieving this Christmas over the loss of a loved one and you don't quite know the right words to say, we can point to Jesus instead. If someone asks you, what do you believe about God? You may not have a perfect answer lined up, but you can do something rather simple. You can point to Jesus. You know, last week I was asked a really good question by a middle school student. Right here in this room, after worship, she asked this. She said, where is God? And if God is everywhere, how'd God get there? How'd God get there if God's everywhere? And I thought that was a great question. And I have to tell you today, I think that's the kind of question that God has wrestled with since the beginning of time. As creator of this world, God has been actively at work creating this wonderful world on this ball of clay, you could say, like a potter. Yet day after day, year after year, God has continued to work on this world, this ball of clay, making tweaks, improvements, and tending to the cracks as they appear. And over time, God must have realized that this creation, this work of art, needed some help understanding this creator. Knowing that God's self was beyond our comprehension, God had to figure out a way to show us the very nature, the very character of God in a way that we could understand. God wanted this world to know who God is and just how much God loves each and every one of us. And you see, it's at Christmas that we see God's strategic plan for revealing this divine mystery. It's at Christmas that God responds to our questions and says, if you want to know who God is, if you want to know how much God loves you, God will point us to a manger. God will point us to a cross. God will point us to Jesus. So today, we come to worship a God who is holy ministry, yes, infinitely beyond our comprehension. Today, we come to learn how to live as people of faith in these lives that we've been given. And today we learn from John the Baptist that if we're ever struggling with our faith, or if we're ever struggling with our life of faith, we are given a place to go, we are given a person to know. And so, we follow the lead of this wilderness man, and we point to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
tonight, church. I'm going to invite you to stand. As we join together in the Apostles' Creed, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Now we gather at the table where we remember it was in the night in which he was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then again after supper, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin." Again, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you this day and keep you always in his grace. Amen.
Now as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ goes with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, above you watching over you, beside you to befriend you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.